So as I'm watching DJ Lagway and Arch Manning, we had Jamarcus Russell and Ryan Leaf showdown Texas versus UF the other day. Going straight to the top. Just put the sack on the clock. I am Ray Allen's a shot. I'm going straight to the top. Yo, what's going on, everybody? Mike here, Sports and the Real Shit Podcast. Coming at you once again, as always. Don't forget to like, subscribe, share. Appreciate you guys hopping on for a few minutes to hang out with me. Check out the website, sportsandthereal.tv, sportsandthereal.tv. Football moves on, so let's get into it. It is week six of college football, week five of the NFL. And things are starting to take shape. So let's get into it. College football first, as always. Two big games. Well, really the biggest game of the weekend, I will say, was my Seminoles against the University of Miami. This game back in the day when I was growing up was the game in the state of Florida. Actually, the UF Florida State game was big time too. But this Miami Florida State game, you know, folks remember all the wide rights and wide lefts, like these crazy kicks and the big time players that came out of the programs back in the day. And for the last several years, this game's actually been not that good. Either Florida State's good, Miami's not good, Miami's decent, Florida State's trash. Like, this is the first year where we thought both teams were going to be really good. And it turns out, as a Florida State fan, I have to say this, I'm not sure if my Seminoles are as good as we thought they were after starting off 3-0, right? So initially, everybody thought they were going to be trash, right? After coming off of last year, everybody thought they were going to be trash. They weren't ranked to start off the season. Cool. Start off the season, big win against Alabama. Next two wins are against, you know, teams that probably shouldn't have football programs, so they blow them out. And we thought they were, you know, on a come up. I was like, okay, Seminoles, we're doing it. And then it turns out, maybe not. UVA gets the upset, you know, trap game. We overlooked them, blah, 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 right? Excuses. But this Miami game really showed me something. Like, I don't think Miami is that great. Like, they're a good team. I think the University of Miami has a good team. You know, some people are saying, are they back? Well, they're ranked like they're back, right? They're like number two in the nation this week. They got a good team, but I don't think they're that great. But they made Florida State look kind of sus. And what I've figured out as I've watched the Seminoles more and more is that we're really good when we can keep teams guessing on their toes. Castellanos is faking handoffs. They're running crazy plays. You know, all that is good and well. But when the defense got some dudes who can just line up and hit you, I don't know how good our play calling and our execution is. And our quarterback's accuracy, again, Castellanos has been good for us, but his accuracy is still leaves a lot to be desired. So I don't want to call Florida State fake because we weren't really predicted to do anything at the beginning of the season, but those wins at the beginning kind of look kind of, you know, kind of sus now. Like, I don't know if we're that team anymore. We still got a chance. Florida State still has a chance, right? The schedule lines up. Our toughest game is probably going to be Clemson, who doesn't really look that good, even though they got a win this weekend against UNC. But UNC and Belichick's trash. So I think our toughest game is probably Clemson's left. And then after that, Florida State should be good. But I do think Miami, right, I'm saying they're not that great, but I do think they got a chance to run the table. I think their defense is pretty good. Carson Beck is okay, I guess, but they got a nice squad, nice talent. Their defense is good. They got a chance to run the table, I think, because I was looking at their schedule. I'm like, damn, who they got left? Nobody. So I think UM might go undefeated heading into the playoffs, and then we'll see what happens there. Lord have mercy. Can't believe I'm saying that. they actually got a good team. I mean, if their coaching doesn't mess things up, I think they can actually make some noise and get into the playoffs and do some things. Because as I'm watching college football, there aren't really any dominant teams anyway. There's nobody out there that you're like, oh, yeah, if UM plays these guys, they stand no chance. They can compete with anyone. They can line up against anyone. They pressure the quarterback. Like, they can play. They are a sound team. They're not going to blow you out the water. You know, they're not going to embarrass you. I thought they were going to embarrass the Seminoles, honestly. But they let us creep back in the game. So I think UM is good. Maybe Florida State's not as good as I thought they were going to be after, you know, 3-0 start. They can still get back into it. We'll see how things shake out. But Miami definitely has a chance to get there, make some noise towards the end. Other big game, in quotes, was the Gators against Texas. And it turns out Texas isn't actually good. They were overrated. Arch Manning was overrated. And I think Texas was overrated because Arch Manning was overrated. And they go into the swamp and lose. And the Gators have been looking like straight garbo for several weeks now. Like Lagway's throwing the ball to the wrong team like every other time he drops back. But somehow, some way, UF beats Texas. Arch Manning looks... So here's my take on Arch Manning. He is really... He actually does have a lot of talent. Like, he made some throws in that game where you're like, damn, he can play. He got some arm talent. But then he makes some other throws where you're like, damn, that was dumb. That was bonehead. And it turns out DJ Lagway is the same way. DJ Lagway is super talented. Like, he has a strong-ass arm, but he has no control over it. So he's throwing the ball like you have no idea where it's going, but it's powerful. He's drilling it in there, but he has no control whatsoever of where the ball is going. So he's highly inaccurate, but he is super talented. So you can see why these guys, Lagway in 2024 was number one QB in the nation, Manning number one QB, really number one player overall in 2023, coming out of high school. You can see that these guys are super talented, but unfortunately, big boy football gets to them. They're not ready. In high school, maybe they dominated. I didn't watch their, you know, well, Arch Manning, you know, I watched him because, bro, they had his highlights on TV. But these guys are super talented, and they only make plays, you know, occasionally. They're not consistent. Which is the sign of a great quarterback, whether it's college football or in the NFL. You got to be consistent. And as I watch them play, they remind me of quarterbacks of years past who were super talented, but for whatever reason flamed out and ended up being busts. So as I'm watching DJ Lagway and Arch Manning, I'm like, these guys remind me of the college versions of Jamarcus Russell and Ryan Leaf. So we had Jamarcus Russell and Ryan Leaf showdown Texas versus UF the other day. And Jamarcus Russell was a beast in college. So was Ryan Leaf. For those who don't remember, Ryan Leaf in college was teams. Some people thought he was going number one over Peyton when they came out. He was the legit. Then he gets in the league, you know, whatever, whatever. But as I'm watching Lagway and Manning, I'm like, these guys are super talented, but they make a couple throws, and you're like, damn. Like, Arch made one throw for a touchdown. You're like, damn, that's a big-time throw. And then he turns around and throws a pick. Lagway, same thing. Makes a big-time throw, and then the next driver, whatever, turns around and throws a dumb pass, double coverage into a pick. Like, what the hell is going on? I don't know if it's a coaching. I don't know if just being overhyped. Sark, you know, people are calling for Sark to make a change at QB. Like, Texas as a whole is overhyped, right? We don't see the players that we thought they had, the defense that we thought they had, the offensive playmakers that we thought they had. and certainly the quarterback ain't who we thought he was. Like Jamarcus Russell, people talk about Jamarcus Russell, like urban legend, you know, throwing 70 yards off his knees. Like Lagway looks like he could throw 70 yards off his knees. Like he has a powerful arm, but he has zero control of where the ball is going. None at all. And you watch Arch, he's scrambling, like he got some moves and just no consistency, man. Like one great play followed by one dumb play. It's like they were going dumb play for dumb play. Band for band, as the kids say. It was crazy to watch that game. I'm like, damn, these kids are super talented. Terrific arm talent. But they're not going to go anywhere. Florida's probably not going to win, you know, when they play actual school with a quarterback who's going to take care of the ball. And I don't know what's going to happen to Arch. I mean, Texas is no longer in the top 25. They dropped out. Yeah, I don't know. I have no idea what to say, man. It's just two talented dudes who just ain't there yet. So hopefully they pick it up. All right, that's a quick hit on that. Penn State loses again. They lost to 0-4 UCLA. I don't know what to say. All right, I talked about James Franklin last week. He can't win big games against top 10 teams. He's like 4-21 or something like that at Penn State. But then he turns around and loses to UCLA, who prior to last Saturday was winless. And I'm watching that game. I'm like, this stadium is empty. Yeah, because the team sucks. They're out in LA. The team sucks. But somehow, I mean, they were getting handed to them, and then it kind of came back. Penn State started off the season number 3, and now they're unranked. All these teams, man, just straight fugazi. I don't know what to say about James Franklin. Of course, now, you know, chatter is picking up about Penn State got to make a change. I can't excuse it, bro. I can't. You got the talent, and, you know, every year you lose a big game, and now you're losing to UCLA at 0-4. Yikes. I don't know what to say about that. All right. So those were the quick hits I want to hit on college football. The NFL, so before I jump into the games in the NFL, so the NFL, Roger Goodell is saying the NFL wants to open a flag football league. And I'm like, what took them so long? Because I want to play flag football. I was not going to play in the NFL. My bones ain't made for those hits, all right? I wasn't. But I could have played flag football. My hands was nice. My arm was nice. I could throw the ball. I'd catch that thing. I mean, I had moves. I could juke a couple cats. What took the NFL so long? So here's what it is. Couple things. There is a big push now for flag football. I've said it before on the podcast, you know, parents, you know, are kind of concerned about their kids playing tackle football early on. CTE, head injuries, blah, blah, blah. So a lot of parents are putting their kids in flag football, and a lot of kids are growing up playing like official flag football. Like every high school around me has flag football, girls and boys. So it makes sense now for the NFL to pivot into flag football. Now, I don't know if flag is going to replace tackle, all right? I don't know if we're going to sit here and watch flag football on Sundays religiously like we watch tackle, all right? Part of the appeal of watching tackle is the tackle, the physicality, the brutality, the hits, the pads popping, the trash talking, the pain that comes with it. Like, dudes watching football, like, that's what we get out of it. The physicality, the head-to-head matchups, like the confrontation, the conflict. That's why we watch football. And I don't know if that level of conflict translates in flag football. Actually, it doesn't. All right? Just like the NBA, right? The conflict that used to be there when people used to talk trash and get into fights and trash talk and technical fouls and all that stuff, pushing and shoving, right? That we only see in the playoffs a little bit in the NBA now. Like, I don't know if the NFL really can replace the physicality and the brutality that a lot of fans love while they watch football. Dudes get their testosterone off, you know, from watching football. I don't know if the NFL can replace that with Flag. But Flag is on the come up for sure. Roger Goodell is like, in the next 2 years, like, they've invested to have flag football, a professional flag football league, be in place by the time before the Olympics actually come to LA in 2028. We'll see. I mean, can I try out? Is it too late? I think I still got some moves. Nah, seriously though, it's a smart move. The rest of the world, I don't know if they really want to jump into tackle football. The rest of the world actually is concerned about head injuries, all right? They're not going to go for all their kids having CTE when they're done playing football. So this is a great way to bring them in, and maybe you'll convert some over to watching tackle football. But at the very least, you'll get them watching this league and make some money off of them. And, you know, you'll grow football worldwide as a result of it. So it makes business sense. But I don't know if we'll replace, even though the NFL is going to get softer and softer, I don't know if you'll truly replace the NFL with flag football. I don't think dudes and fans have the appetite to watch flag football consistently like they do tackle. The hits just ain't going to be there. The trash talking, how much trash can you really talk in flag football? Like, you know, I don't know. So we'll see. But I like the concept, though. I like the idea. So in 2 years, we're going to have a flag football league. We'll see what comes out of that. My Dolphins lose to the damn Panthers, who aren't really a good team, even though, you know, they've won a couple games this year. But a couple of things to say there. One, Bryce Young, I swear, watching Bryce Young is like a little high school kid playing quarterback. He made some nice throws against the Dolphins. But it's like a high school kid. He's so small back there. He's short and skinny. Like, unlike Russell Wilson, who's like short and thick. Baker Mayfield is short and thick. Bryce Young is like short and skinny. Like, he really looks like a jit, like a little high school kid out there. He made some throws, but I don't see Bryce Young as a full-time starter in the NFL simply because he's just too small. I don't think he sees a whole field like that. Again, he made some great throws the other day, but I don't think he sees the whole field like that. Honestly, I don't think he can last, like, physically in the NFL. He's just too small. He's going to get beat up, get worn out, but I don't think he's as accurate. Like, the way he was in Alabama making all the throws, like, he misses a lot, and I think it's because of his stature. I really do. But somehow, some way, the Panthers beat the Dolphins with Bryce Young at quarterback. He didn't play all that great. He didn't play terrible, but he did make some mistakes. But he didn't play terrible. At least towards the end of the game, he pretty much managed the game because the Panthers just ran the ball down the Dolphins' throat. And this has been my problem with Mike McDaniel since he's been a Dolphins head coach, is that the Miami Dolphins have had this soft persona since Mike McDaniel has taken over. Bring back the days of Tony Sparano, Dave Wanstead. Like, these guys were great offensive minds, but you weren't going to punk, you weren't going to bully and run all over Miami Dolphins with Tony Sparano and Dave Wanstead. Like, these guys, like, there was a physicality that the Miami Dolphins had. Yes, we haven't had a legit quarterback since Dan Marino required. But now the Dolphins are getting pushed over and ran over. The Panthers ran for 239 yards. Like, how do you do that with Bryce Young at quarterback, who's not really a threat to push the ball down the field like that? But I said it at the beginning of the year. People came after me on social media. I said, look, man, Dolphins are going to be a soft team because their defense is suspect, their offensive line is suspect, and I don't think they're going to be that great. Now, I thought they were going to still get some wins because they still got the Cheetah and, you know, Tua would, you know, squeeze out some wins with Jalen Waddle, so on and so forth. Darren Waller's come back and looked really good. But the team is freaking soft. And I don't know why, because Mike McDaniel is from the Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan type of tree. Those guys aren't soft. They have innovative play calling, and that's Mike McDaniel's thing. Innovative play calling. Offense looks good, like a Lamborghini out there. You know what I'm saying? Sean McVay has really innovative play calling. Kyle Shanahan, innovative play calling, but you can never call their team soft because they want to run the ball down your throat. And their defenses are legit, usually. But I'm watching the Dolphins the last 4 years or whatever be soft as hell against good teams. They get pummeled. And this year, their defense can't really stop anybody. Like, if you let the Carolina Panthers rush for 239 yards without really any threats downfield, this dude was getting like 10 yards a carry. This dude's going to be a Hall of Famer because of the Miami Dolphins. What is going on? So, yeah, I mean, our season bent over. But this is just bad to watch. And I'm wondering just how long are the Miami Dolphins going to stick with Mike McDaniel? Does the GM, Chris Geer, get fired this year as well? I don't know. Fans are flying banners, you know, over the stadium or whatever for, for Steve Ross to fire, you know, the coaches and GM and like front office and make some changes. I don't know. The thing is, who's better out there? He just, Mike McDaniel, he's a great offensive mind. One, he hitched his wagon to Tua, and Tua's not really a 1A quarterback. He's not a franchise quarterback like that. He gets hurt easily. He's not going to carry you like that when things run and break down. But two, the team has no physical identity. They are just soft. All right? They are just soft. They get ran over. All right, let's keep going. Mike Vrabel. Shout out to Mike Vrabel. I talked about it last week, how the Titans, you know, let go of Vrabel and they hired Brian Callahan, and they thought, you know, they needed to get rid of old head Vrabel, old school. You know, his style wasn't winning in the NFL anymore. You're right. That man got the Patriots looking real nice. They beat the Buffalo Bills, who's the class of the AFC East, one of the best teams in the AFC overall and in the NFL, really. Mike Vrabel just knows how to game plan Josh. He really does. Ever since going back to Tennessee, he knows how to game plan Josh Allen. So they beat Buffalo. Patriots now sit at 3-2, and maybe they're just not as bad as we thought they were going to be. I thought this year was just going to be a year where they found out if Drake May was good or not. These boys looking good. Defense looking good. And as long as Drake May doesn't throw the other team the ball and fumble the ball, they'll be all right. They'll be in some games, man. So shout out to Mike Vrabel for being a really damn good NFL coach. And I don't know what, I'll repeat it, I don't know what the Tennessee Titans were thinking letting him go. With that lack of talent they had on that roster, the fact that he got what he got out of that roster says something. So the Patriots now sitting pretty at 3-2. Drake May getting some experience. 270-some yards the other day. Beat Buffalo in Buffalo. It's not an easy place to play. Ask Tua. So shout out to the Patriots, man. Got a good coach. Got a good coach. All right, let's move on. We'll do Denver and the Eagles next. So real quick, the Eagles, I think they'll be all right. I'm not going to sit there and bash on them yet. I think they'll be all right. They'll get things together. They got too much talent. But as a fan, I said a couple weeks ago their defense was a little suspect. People got on me saying, hey, blah, blah, blah. Listen, you know, you don't know what you're talking about. I still don't think their defense is as good as it needs to be to win a Super Bowl. And now their offense doesn't look as good either. Again, I still think they'll get there. But right now their offense is suspect too. And there's complaints. Devontae Smith saying he's not getting enough touches. And AJ's not getting enough touches. Saquon not getting enough touches. What do you do? You have an abundance of talent, but everybody complaining saying they're not getting enough touches. And now you're losing to the Denver Broncos. And you should have lost to the Rams. So are the Eagles going to repeat? I don't know. I still think they got the talent to make a run. They'll get things together. I mean, they got the offensive line still. But Eagles fans got to be a little bit concerned. I would be. Because watching the Denver game, I'm like, I don't know. And even watching that Rams game, I was like, I don't know. So more to come on the Eagles. I'm not going to blast them again. I still think they got the talent to do something, so I'm not going to blast them. But the question now is Denver a legit team? Bo Nix is playing, he's okay, playing average football. But their defense is legit. Like, they really gave the Eagles fits. Like, they get after the quarterback. They're number one in the league in sacks. Like, number two in points allowed. Like, these boys are legit. 21 sacks already this season for the Broncos. So, as long as Bo Nix doesn't throw the balls to the other team, he's got 4 picks this season, 8 touchdowns. As long as he doesn't throw the balls to the other team, Denver is going to be all right, man. Because their defense is going to keep them in games. You know, Sean Payton and his play calling, you know, he does what he does. So that's a surprise. I don't know if anybody else was really expecting Denver to be the best team in the AFC West. Because Chargers have dipped. Chiefs lost again this weekend. The Raiders got smashed. Are the Denver Broncos the best team in the AFC West now? Possibly. Definitely got the defense to speak for it. Like, you don't want to play these guys because they get after you. They're going to hurt your quarterback for real. So after watching that Eagles game, I'm like, maybe Denver is good. Maybe they're legit. We'll see. I don't want to crown them. But I think they'll be all right rest of the year. Texas Ravens. Ravens get smashed 44-10 by the Texans. What the hell is going on with the Ravens defense? The Ravens defense was predicted to be like top 1-2 defense in the league this year coming out of preseason. The Ravens were going to be one of the best defenses in the league. And now they actually got the 31st ranked defense in the league. These boys give up 30 and 40 points like, it's hotcakes. The Bills scored 41. The Lions scored 38. The Chiefs scored 37. The Texans scored 44. The Rams are probably about to run it up on them. And whoever plays them after that is going to run it up on them because now Lamar's out a couple weeks. They got Cooper Rush starting. That defense is going to be tired as hell. So the Ravens defense sucks, and now I'm thinking, you know, me picking them, you know, to do something in the playoffs and hopefully represent the AFC, that's probably out the window. They can't beat anybody serious. They can't beat anybody good with their defense looking like that. They can't. Like the Texans, who hadn't been that great, scored 44 again. Lamar's out, so the defense is on the field all day. You know, with Cooper Rush, he shouldn't be starting at quarterback in the NFL, but it is what it is. But to be 31st in the league in defense, who's to blame for that? John Harbaugh? A lot of people want to blame John Harbaugh. I guess that's who gets to blame. As the head coach, who else gets to blame? And people have been saying John Harbaugh's had enough time, you know, before Lamar got there, he was going to be fired, maybe. But I've never seen a John Harbaugh team look this bad on defense. Offense, maybe. You know, Joe Flacco's later years, maybe, you know, the offense wasn't as creative, you know, great. But I've never seen a John Harbaugh team not be physical, not be tough. And right now, the Ravens are getting smashed. Teams do whatever they want on them. So even when Lamar comes back, I don't see that changing 5 weeks in. this wasn't an accident. This wasn't an aberration. This is 5 weeks in. They've given up 30-plus points to everybody except for who they beat, scrub team they beat. So the Ravens are going out sad, unfortunately. Like, if this defense turns around, I'll be surprised. Because there are no indicators right now saying that defense is going to do anything good. All right, last one. Chiefs-Jags played on Monday night. Trevor Lawrence is like the most frustrating QB in the league. He is really talented, but does some of the dumbest things ever. And listen, man, potential gets coaches fired. He still has the potential to be great. I don't know if that's going to translate into actual greatness because he does some things and you're like, damn, this is so dumb of him. But then he makes plays at the end of the game. You're like, damn, this brother is nice. Like, he's dropping the ball in. He's running, like getting stepped on, getting up and still running for a touchdown to win the game. Like, those are great plays, bro. Like, why can't you be this consistent, Trevor Lawrence, sunshine? I'm sure Jaguars fans would love you to be more consistent and not throw stupid interceptions that allows Kansas City to get back in the game. This guy can be so good, but he does the dumbest things. I don't know why. Like, some quarterbacks look like they play dumb football. He doesn't look like he plays dumb football, but he actually does play dumb football sometimes. Trevor Lawrence could be really, really good, but he is so frustrating because he's not all the way there all the time. But big time win for them, though, and now the Jags are sitting at 4-1. Like, are they for real? We're talking about Denver. Are the Jags for real? Because now they're 4-1. And their division ain't that great. So they're probably going to win the division running away. So can they do something? We'll see. One quick thing on the Jags. I was watching the game. Travis Hunter, I mean, he's still getting acclimated to the NFL game or whatever, but I think he should just pick a side. Defense, offense, just pick a side, bro. I think you'll just be more useful as a one-way player who sometimes plays the other side as opposed to trying to be full-time both ways. I don't think your body can hold up trying to play both ways in the NFL. This modern NFL, I don't think so. So I'm watching the game against the Chiefs. I'm like, he's hardly in, and when he's in, he doesn't really touch the ball that much. Just pick a side and master that, man. Master defense, master offense. Supposedly, his defensive rating is better than his offensive rating as a receiver. Play defense. Master that. And then, you know, do like Deion did every once in a while, you know, come in on offense as a gadget player. But you ain't got to be full-time. I don't know about Travis Hunter trying to be full-time. Maybe that's just me being an old head. I don't see it. Chiefs lose again. Yikes. That's a lot of L's this early in the season. I don't even know what to say. I really have nothing to say with the Chiefs losing so much. I mean, I thought, you know, they had the will to win, the know-how. They've been there, done that. I was like, okay, you know, they may not have all the talent as we would like, but they're the Chiefs. They got Pat. They got Andy Reid. Spagnuolo, you know, I thought the Chiefs would still be a contender, and maybe they are still. But now with all these losses piling up, they don't have the best record in their division. Other teams looking really good. So if they don't have, they've won the AFC without having home court advantage, home field advantage. But if they have to just travel the whole time in the playoffs as a wild card, does that mess up my pick of the Chiefs actually being Super Bowl favorites, Super Bowl representative for the AFC? That'd be some messed up stuff, man. That'd be some messed up stuff if I'm sitting here picking the Chiefs and they turn out to have a garbage year. But yeah. I mean, they got speed at receiver. Kelsey's old, obviously. I don't know what their issue is. Whatever it is, it's not working right now. And a big time win for the Jacksonville Jaguars against the Chiefs. Big time win. So we'll see if the Jags are legit. Long season, obviously, but 4-1 ain't nothing to sneeze at. On the other hand, the Chiefs, Houston, we have a problem. All right, y'all. That's all I wanted to touch on today. Appreciate y'all hanging out for a few minutes, as always. Again, don't forget to like, subscribe, share, leave your feedback, your comments. Tell me what you think. You know, talk some trash, whatever it is. You know, let me hear from you. But I'm going to catch you guys next time. As always, y'all be good. Have a great week. Mike, supposed to the real shit. Peace. I'm going straight to the top. Just put the sack on the clock. I am Ray Allen's a shot. I'm going straight to the top.